Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 51, recorded Monday, January 29th, 2007. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. We have two topics on today's Travel Commons Podcast: rebalancing your status portfolio and upgrading travel technology. Well, this week, coming to you from the SFO Marriott, so back on the road. Sorry if the sound quality isn't exactly as good as what I get in the Travel Commons studio, but a couple of too many things here that sound waves can bounce off of. But, you know, I've been on the road pretty much constantly since the last podcast on New Year's Day. Been out to San Francisco every week, plus a stop off in Denver, a visit that was delayed by the pre-Christmas blizzard. You know, on my first trip of the year, January 3rd, to San Francisco, I decided to break my habit a bit, ditching my lovely SFO Marriott for the W Hotel in Soma, the south of Market District. You know, I used to stay there quite a bit in the bubble years of sort of 99 and 2000. It was the hip, cool, and edgy place where all the new economy execs stayed. Though everyone was wearing black mock turtlenecks, the guests, the hotel clerks, the bellhops, it did get a bit confusing. But it was a fun place, and I don't know, the time seems to have passed it by a bit, though. The lobby is still dimly lit, the house music still thumps as you get off the elevator. But the service has slipped way off, and I don't know, the guest list has lost that edge, you know, more the Dockers crowd than the black on black with tiny glasses crowd. Well, you know, I mean, guests weren't any different than the usuals at the SFO Marriott, but, you know, then again, that's the point. The W used to be different, but I guess that's a tough pinnacle to maintain. Regular listeners will be happy to know that with January's mild weather in Chicago, there was no need in this Travel Commons podcast for a third installment of the working hard to get home topic. Now, the lead topic of the last two Travel Commons podcasts were about me trying to get home in the face of a blizzard. In Travel Commons 49, the blizzard was in Chicago, and in 50, it was that record setter in Denver. The only bad weather I hit was on the ground in San Francisco, where for a couple of weeks it was colder here than in Chicago. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the valet guy at the SFO Westin was clutching a thin jacket around himself, shivering, "This is global warming. This is global warming." I break out of my SFO rut a bit starting this week, though. I'm out here in San Francisco to start the week, but I'm ending the week in Orlando, Florida, because I want to be able to touch both oceans. In February, I already have trips planned for New York City and Las Vegas, around which I'm going to have to fit a couple more visits to San Francisco. Following up, you know, lots of good commentary on the website and the email bag since the last podcast. Mike, I apologize now because I am going to butcher your last name. Prikala offered some insight into the workings of United Airlines waitlist after listening to Travel Commons number 50, where I talked about my scramble to get home after my flight from San Francisco to Denver was canceled due to that big blizzard. So Mike says, "I was listening to show 50 where you talked about getting on an already full standby list for an SFO to ORD segment that had 75 people on it. United calls its standby list internally the DM list, which is short for Departure Management List. Within the DM list, there are certain boarding priority categories, and when you're issued a UADM card, it shows what boarding priority category you are in. Misconnects and passengers with irregular operations are usually in BP5A, and general voluntary standby is in BP5B. Also, passengers who have tickets on the given flight but where the seat map is full are usually around BP2. there would be a number of BP2s, say, on an oversold flight. The DM list also processes upgrades and voluntary denied boarding, people who give up their seats. I find it hard to believe that there would be 75 BP2s oversolds on your flight, when the DM list is finally processed under each category, is done by frequent flyer status. So you being a premier executive, you would jump in front of anyone without Mileage Plus or general members and premiers. Those customers who have global services, the super elites, or 1K status would be processed ahead of you. So I'm just saying in a long-winded way, I don't think you would be number 76 on that standby list, but at the same time, surely you would not be number one either. Odd that the gate agent told you you would be number 76, though. It's not first come, first serve. Status does play in the order DM list passengers are processed. There are threads on flyertalk.com, their United forum that extensively discusses the inner workings of the DM list. Well, Mike, thanks very much for helping us sort of spelunk through the details of United's departure management. You know, I thought being number 76 was a bit odd also, but, you know, then again, it was an odd day with the blizzard in Denver shutting down one of United's big hubs just as the Christmas travel schedules kicking into gear. So there were probably a good number of BP2s oversolds. And then my canceled SFO to Denver flight was a completely packed 767 with many of the passengers connecting through Denver to cities out east. The resulting line of, I guess those would be BPAs, trying to get to one of the four customer service agents ran the half the length of the concourse at SFO. You know, I really think what happened is the gate agent looked at my record, saw that I had a ticket to get home, looked at the line of people behind me without a way to get home, and in a nice way, was trying to tell me not to be greedy. Don't take a spot that someone else needs just to get home a few hours earlier. And you know, I can't say that she was necessarily wrong. And Matt Trevors from Canada left this great response to Travel Commons number 50 on the website. Matt says, just started listening to the podcast today and have listened nonstop all afternoon. Matt, small note, don't do that. You'll hurt yourself. Anyhow, he continues, I travel considerable amounts for work into remote areas for 3 to 6 weeks at a time, and I could certainly relate to all the topics you cover. We in Canada also suffer from overzealous security screeners, which borders on silliness, as I can never imagine someone trying to hijack a twin otter in the isolated northern regions. The situations that appear to be attracted to me while I'm traveling to and from range from annoying to ridiculous. This is mostly due to flying on the airline known as Inumikun. I probably butchered that one, although Air Canada can also provide me with countless moments of silliness as well. The Inumikun flights are either 40 minutes or 4 hours long if they actually decide to fly on the day you wish. Highlights from my last year include taking 29 hours to get home, consisting of 3 flights totaling 2 hours and 50 minutes, spending 3.5 hours of the 4-hour flight next to a very intoxicated obese man that smelled very similar to rum-soaked dog feces, who had one arm in a sling made from a dirty dish towel, resulting in constant requests to buckle his seatbelt and pick up whatever he constantly dropped on the floor. And of course, my favorite, the 4-hour flight where one person suffered from air sickness, which resulted in 9 more of the total of 13 people on the flight becoming sick. I was spared, essentially reenacting the pie-eating vomit scene from the movie Stand By Me. The unfortunate thing is that in non-isolated regions, the wearing of sunglasses and headphones while your face is stuck in a book is generally regarded as no conversations, please. This is not the case on these flights. Well, Matt, thanks for giving us that perspective. Next time I feel like whining over an hour delay in Chicago, I'm going to recall your posting and keep my mouth shut. Thanks to everyone who contributes their thoughts and stories, the voice of the traveler, the email address, comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or you can post them on the travelcommons.com website. We'll be right back. The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is rebalancing your status portfolio. You know, at the start of every year, personal finance experts tell us to rebalance our investment portfolios, look at our 401ks and IRAs, and make some decisions on where to make investments this coming year. Frequent travelers should do the same thing with their frequent flyer and frequent sleeper programs, but hopefully, unlike your financial investments, your elite status in these programs gets reset to zero at the beginning of each year, which begs the question, do I want to reinvest my flight segments or hotel stays here or go someplace new? In Travel Commons number 48, I talked about how my frequent flyer diversification strategy, spreading miles across a couple of different carriers, helped me use those miles. And in that example, I couldn't get to South Africa on Oneworld, the American-British Airways Alliance, but I could on Star Alliance, Lufthansa, United, South Africa Air. But that strategy has a cost. I don't make top tier on any airline. Instead, I end up being mid-tier on a number of them. Sara Bargava, the featured bridge music artist on Travel Commons number 49, left this comment on the website. During boarding of the 445 flight from Newark to O'Hare, the agent announced that since over 90% of the flight are premieres or above, we're going to have to board by seating area and row, followed by seating area 1, rows 15 through 24, rows 10 through 15, and seating area 2, 3, 4, etc. To your point in podcast number 50 about airlines doing less and less for us regular elites, it's gotten so saturated now that we have flights that are almost completely elites, defeating the point altogether. Well, at least I'm not back at square one and having to board in seating area 4. I'm not sure those guys even got on the plane. Well, you know, it's a toss-up for me between American and United. But given that I'm going to be flying 10,000 miles to and from Cape Town at the end of March, I bought my ticket, but I end up using United miles for the wife and kids, I think I'm going to double down on United and go for their 1K top tier. Give this strategy a try. Now, I had a similar decision on hotels. I got my 07 Platinum card in the mail from Marriott, but, you know, I got to thinking that maybe I'd flip over to Starwood for a year, you know, just give it a change. So, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, I stayed at the San Francisco W Hotel to give it a try. And, you know, I just wasn't impressed. And, you know, the next week, I stayed at the Renaissance Hotel on Nob Hill, Renaissance being part of the Marriott chain. And it was a much nicer experience. So I'm back here at the SFO Marriott this week and expect to keep my platinum status for another year. But I'll tell you, the last of the travel big three rental cars, well, that could be up for grabs. When the Hertz guys are telling me that they've upgraded me to a two-year-old Ford Taurus, you know, that kind of special treatment I can just do without. Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is upgrading travel technology. You know, a good bit of my technology kit has been upgraded since the last podcast. Some of it's been voluntary, my mobile phone and laptop, and some involuntary, namely my iPod. My upgrade from a Motorola Razr to a new Samsung A707, what Singular is calling their Sync, was mostly voluntary, though with a good bit of prodding from my son Andrew. When we finally succumbed this fall and gave him a cell phone at the start of eighth grade, I had to explain to him his position in the family technology hierarchy, that being at the bottom. So instead of getting a new phone in August, he got my wife's Motorola V220, my wife got my V551, and I bought a new Razr. A month or so later, my son had somehow managed to crack both LCD screens on the phone, the one right at the front that gives you the calling number and also the screen on the back. or inside the clamshell. You know, I told him he could either buy his own unlocked phone on eBay or wait till my contract was up in January and take my Razr when I upgraded. Smart kid, he decided to wait. So two Saturdays ago, we hit the Singular store to roll the phones. I really didn't know what new phone I wanted. I didn't want another Razr. That would be a bit boring. And I was thinking about the new Motorola Crazr, if for no other reason than to be able to reuse some of the Motorola power supplies, and even more importantly, not to have to learn a new menu system. But the Singular store didn't have one out on display, and the price wasn't that good. I just wasn't really looking to spend over $100 on a new phone and, you know, go for another two-year contract. So I ended up looking. They had the Samsung and they had the LG out, and they're both nice phones, just about the same feature set. I ended up taking the Samsung because the screen was a bit bigger. Yeah, and it turns out it was also a 3G phone. Now, the sales rep shows me the streaming video. Interesting. Wasn't a buying criteria for me, but yeah, I don't know, what the heck. So I spent the rest of the day loading my stuff onto it. And, I mean, though the Singular rep had done a nice job of transferring my numbers from the Razr over to the Samsung, you know, I still needed to load some ringtones, some pictures, associate my wife's picture with her cell phone number, make the phone play Scotland the Brave when my dad calls, you know, all the things that make it my phone. And actually, I do like the phone. I mean, it fits my face better than the Razr, and I've had fewer dropped calls. Also, there was a buzzing sound that others heard when I used my Motorola Bluetooth headset with the Razr, but that's not there with the Samsung. And I really get pretty good 3G coverage all over the Chicago and San Francisco areas. I'll check out Orlando later this week. But, I mean, the coverage is a lot more than what I thought. I mean, it's nice, but, you know, other than showing streaming videos to friends to say, well, look what my phone can do, I haven't used it that much. I mean, the browser responds much faster in 3G than the Razr did with GPRS, but I don't know, Singular's MediaNet homepage, I think, is just this side of worthless. And it's funny because Samsung's WAP implementation doesn't work with some web pages, most specifically Google. So it's good for what I bought it for, to be a phone. But, you know, I don't know. All the 3G hype so far has left me a bit cold. Could be a great technology, but I don't know. It still seems to be looking for a problem to solve. And that same weekend, I involuntarily upgraded my iPod. My two-year-old, fourth-gen, 20-gig U2 iPod, you know, got hit with the click-of-death disease. The hard drive, you know, hard drive controller crapped out. So I booked an appointment at the Genius Bar at my nearest Apple store, and after 15 minutes of trying to get it to mount, the Genius confirmed my diagnosis. So I ended up picking up a new 30-gig black iPod and got 10% off by trading in my U2 brick. You know, January was a bad iPod month in our house. My son's four-month-old iPod stopped syncing to the computer. My daughter's blue Nano that she got for Christmas went dead 2 weeks after she opened it, and then mine died. You know, love the iPod, but I don't know, you gotta wonder if that 50% increase in iPod sales that Apple recently announced has impacted their quality a bit. Another reason not to brace out and buy the first iPhone when they hit the Singular store later this year. But all that being said, I really like the video capabilities of my new iPod. I loaded a couple of home video clips from last summer's Sweden vacation, and also have been downloading movie shorts from Adam Films. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this will get me to create a Travel Commons video podcast, but I wouldn't bank on it. Just getting the audio is more than enough work. You know, interesting, you know, I found a use for the new features of my iPod much quicker than the new features of my Samsung phone. And then last Friday, my company replaced my 3.5-year-old ThinkPad X31 with a brand new ThinkPad X60S. Bigger hard drive, faster processor, upgraded Wi-Fi, you know, kind of an evolutionary, not necessarily a revolutionary upgrade. At least on the hardware side, turning it on with just the corporate image loaded made me realize how much I'd customized my laptop over the 3.5 years. I spent a good bit of time yesterday, Sunday, loading Firefox, my podcasting tools, DivX codecs, all the stuff that make it mine, which, you know, is important for those of us who travel. There's really nothing of note in my office, save for, a couple of standard corporate awards plaques. You wouldn't even know it's my office if you didn't see me in it. But then again, I'm in it an average of less than a day a week. I invest my time instead personalizing sort of my virtual office furniture, my laptop, my phone, my iPod, the things that allow me to turn wherever I am, a train, a plane, a hotel room, a conference room, the places where I spend 5 to 6 days a week, into my virtual office. Now, if I could just figure out a way to personalize these Hertz Ford Tauruses and make them drive like my Saab, now, that would really do it. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 51. I hope you all enjoy this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music on today's show was from Magnitude, the We Are Not Evil label. The songs Steam Train by John Williams, Roots Fi Cool by Burning Babylon, and It's Time Now by The Cocoon. That's Cocoon with a K because I guess they're a German band. They're all available at magnitude.com. Check out the show notes for links. Hey, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, moans, groans, cries of anguish, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, audio files, and post comments on the website. They're all appreciated and they're all good fun. Until we talk next time, take care. And thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons.
On the road, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind. The warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures of you.